The military has doubled down on efforts to prevent sexual assault. They've labeled this month Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's a topic Sergeant Major of the Army Ray Chandler brings up every time he visits soldiers, and he joins us now. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
So does it seem to you, without going into detailed numbers, that the Army is starting to get a hold of this problem?
I believe so. I think we've got greater reporting, and a lot of that reporting is actually from incidents that have taken place, a couple of years ago, several years ago, and in some instances before they even entered the service. So I think that is a positive indicator, but we're not going to rest on our laurels that we've got greater reporting going on and soldiers are talking about things that may have occurred in the past. We've got a lot of work to do in this area, but I am excited that we're starting to get a greater reporting.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff recently said that he's going to work this problem from the top if the youngest service members work it from the bottom. Because you are in touch with those youngest service members, I want to ask you from your standpoint, what does it mean?
Well, for me, what it means is that we're not expecting soldiers to solve the Army problem. What we're expecting them to do is to look out for one another. And if we take an approach that all I need to do is focus on my battle buddy and they focus on me to ensure that we're in a safe and secure environment, if we get in trouble, that we're going to look out for one another and take care of each other, that we are going to solve the problem. We've got good programs and policies in place, I think, at the highest levels. Obviously, we're going to continue to scrutinize those from time to time to ensure that if we need to make some changes, we can. But if we focus at the soldier level, then it's really the same thing that we do in combat for the American Army, which is to look out for one another. If you're in that foxhole together, the one thing you're looking out for is your battle buddy to your left or right, and they're looking after you, and we'll be successful.
And so when you talk to soldiers at different installations, what approach do you take? Because these are not people that are naive. I mean, they've been through training. They've seen some things. They weren't born yesterday at that point.
That's right. We've got some great young men and women that continue to serve in our Army today. And, I try and take a direct approach. It's just, look, here's the reality, and this is what we need from you, and we're going to provide you the things that you need to be successful. And I like to get soldiers engaged in the conversation and, recognize them and have them come up and talk about their stories. And soldiers are very willing to do that.
How do you get them to open up about something that's such a sensitive topic?
Well, you have to establish a relationship with them, no matter how it is. You got to talk to them, be honest with them, be frank, be candid. And soldiers are going to, they're going to cling to that. They want to know what the deal is. What do you need from me? What do I need to do? And then you'll find someone usually in the audience that has a story to tell. And you ask them to come up and share their experience and you get the conversation going from there. I firmly believe this is all about our understanding of the Army profession, character, commitment, and competence. And that if you are a professional, that you have a responsibility then to act like one, to take action. And our young men and women, our older men and women are excited to know what they need to do. And we have to police our force and make sure we do what's right.
The recent conversation in Congress about a bill that didn't pass the Senate, but was quite high profile, centered around trust and the chain of command. And some would argue that trust is broken because of sexual assault that happens among people at different levels of this chain of command. When you are talking with soldiers, do you or can you even from your position sense that at all?
Absolutely. If you had asked me this question, 18 months or a year ago, I would have gotten very few soldiers that would tell me that they were going to trust their first line leader. And that's really what it's about in the Army, especially when you're a junior soldier, is you're having expectation that your junior leader, your squad leader, is going to look out for you. But if you're unwilling to go forward because you don't trust them, either by perception or reality of what they do and how they carry themselves as a professional, then, you're not going to come forward. You may speak to someone else, but you're not going to use the chain of command. So,
and you heard a lot of soldiers saying they were hesitant to trust that first line manager. Wow.
Absolutely. Now, in the last 8 or 9 months, I'll tell you that that started to really shift, and I get more and more soldiers, and it's actually a majority now, that say, yeah, I will come forward to my leader and help, ask them to help me or to report. And I think that's changed. Now, I think a big part of that is the emphasis we put on the SHARP program, but just as importantly, on the understanding of what it means to be a professional Army soldier and your responsibilities therein. So I think we are making progress. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we've got the problem solved, and until we don't have sexual assault occurring in our Army, then we haven't met success, and we got to continue to keep pushing forward, which we are.
We're speaking with the Army Sergeant Major Ray Chandler. Now, as the Sergeant Major, you're kind of the troops, but not of the troops. And so, but it's very different from, say, when a, you know, General Martin Dempsey comes by and people look at him and say, you know, he just came from the Oval Office briefing the president. So as a Sergeant Major, you have a slightly different point of view, I guess, a different appearance to the soldiers. How does that help?
Well, I think it helps tremendously. I can still remember when I was a private in the Army. So, you know, even though it's been about 33 years, I can remember the day that I came in the Army, who my drill sergeant was, where I was when I first, you know, my first duty station. And so I can have a connection with soldiers that's unique. And, you know, I try and exercise that and bring myself to their level so they understand, hey, look, I came from where you are today. And there's a relationship there, and I'm very proud of it.
When you speak with soldiers, no matter where you are, you hear a lot of issues arising, I'm sure, from tattoos to sexual assault to suicide or mental health issues. How would you take the pulse of the troops now? What are their most pressing concerns?
Well, you know, obviously, I think one of the biggest concerns is the very large drawdown within the United States Army, which is unique amongst the services. And soldiers, the vast majority want to stay. They enjoy what they're doing. They feel like they're contributing to the nation. But they're also concerned about the large drawdown over the next several years and what that means to them and their ability to continue to serve. And, you know, I've just been over in the Middle East, been down to Fort Leonard Wood here in the last week and talking with soldiers, and they're very concerned about their ability to stay in the Army. And my comments to them are, if you are a professional, if you are seeking continued positive growth, if you're not getting into trouble, you know, you're probably going to have a place in the Army. But if you are, you know, getting into trouble or you're not continuing to develop yourself, you're probably going to be at risk to be able to continue to stay. So I think that's probably the biggest concern with young men and women today.
It sounds like these soldiers expected to have as long careers as you've had in the military, and now they're faced with the idea that they might have to switch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's not a lot that we're going to be able to do based off of a very firm number over a period of years. And so, therefore, our commitment's got to be to the best and the brightest. And but to also honorably thank those who have served who are not going to be able to retain, and that's just reality. I think we all need to understand that you've had, 17 to 24-year-old men and women who've chosen to serve their country in a time of war. Not very many people are willing to volunteer to do that, and these young patriots are going to leave and come back into society. We need to do our best to help them because they've helped us. And I think the American people recognize that, and they're working to try and find them gainful employment or to get them into college and to become productive members of society. So it's going to be a tough few years. Once we get to the final end strength number, I think that the Army will settle out and we'll continue to be the best Army that we are today.
And finally, your term is about to end.
You're not trying to push me out the door, are you? No, I've got about 10, 11 months left, and, you know, this has been a wonderful, humbling experience to try and help the American soldier and families, and I've been very grateful.
And do you have one big priority you'd like to see accomplished in the remaining
year?
Well,
the primary focus when I go out and talk to soldiers is about sexual assault and suicide, and I'm going to continue to message that and talk with soldiers and help our Army, because this is really about trust amongst soldiers, and one of the most divisive things you can have is a unit that doesn't trust one another. So that's my focus, and then I've got a lot of work still to do in the leader development arena as we move forward and reduce the size of the Army. So that's probably the two big things. And then if something else comes up, you know, we'll work that.
All right.
Army Sergeant Major Ray Chandler, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.